ownership rentals.
The Yom Tov of Pesach is arguably the Yom Tov which is the most prepared for, the most effort is put into it, whether it's from the women's side, the men's side, the amount invested, the shopping that goes on, the amount of cleaning, physical and spiritual energy is put into the Yom Tov. And it's not a new thing, that's the Emes. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that he can't get hold of some of his Sforim right now because the Noshim Tzidkonios are in the middle of cleaning his Sforim room, and therefore he's only quoting by memory. So it's not a new thing, it's not a new idea. And perhaps sometimes we feel that there's an overexertion, it's perhaps a little bit extreme. Maybe in some instances it is. However, the Shlomi Zalman Auerbach used to say that if the women insist on cleaning the curtains in the dining room, which obviously don't have any particles of chometz, there's certainly no luska yofa, no big cake that will be found. A simple wipe down would certainly make sure that there will be no chometz found on Pesach. But nevertheless, he said there is an inyan in having them cleaned. Because you come into the Seder night for Malchus, the experience of Cheiros, to actually feel the Cheiros of the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore to come into a room where the table is laden, sparkling, where the curtains are clean, there is an Inyan in it. Perhaps it's not a Chiyuv, but there is an Inyan in having everything glistening for the Seder night. So we come to the Seder and there's a feeling of Malchus, a feeling of Cheiros, of redemption. And the table's laid in, much effort has been put into this moment. And there's something which bothers us very much, there's something which is bothering me very much about the Seder. And that is, now it's what the Tefillah calls, what Chazal have called Zman Cheiroseinu. It's a time of redemption, a time of feeling, actually experiencing once again the feeling of Cheiros, of exiting Mitzrayim. And we put so much emphasis on the Shibud. There's such a doggish, there's such a stress put onto the feeling, not just talking about it, but experiencing the Shibud Mitzrayim, something we don't find elsewhere. We have Chanukah, we have Purim, which is times of celebration of a redemption from the times of tyranny, from being under the rulership of despotic rulers. And nevertheless, we don't find that there's any hanhoga, minig, or halacha of experiencing the pain that they had during Chanukah till the redemption. We light the candle because that's how the Nisim began. Ala Nisim, ala Purka. The celebration is always how we got out of the problem. There's no inyan in experiencing the pain once again. Purim is all about v'nahafichu, after everything changed. We don't experience the feeling of death over our heads that Haman and Achashverosh put onto Klal Yisrael. And here by Pesach, we begin the Seder with Ha Lach Ma'anya. There's a whole malchus, like a beautiful royal table set. The silver's glistening. Everything's clean. Everything's beautiful. Everyone's in their Shabbos Yom Tov finery. And we begin with, we take this matzah, Ha Lach Ma'anya. This is the poor man's bread, the bread of affliction. Let's remember what it felt like to be in Mitzrayim. It seems to be a contradiction. And then we eat the morah to experience the bitterness of the Shibud Mitzrayim. Salt water to remember the tears, charoses for the cement. Again and again experiencing, talking about and really experiencing the pain of Shibud Mitzrayim. What's going on? It's a bit like a beggar who begs at Piccadilly Station for many, many years. He knows nothing better than his spot collecting. And then one day he wins the national lottery, so he becomes a millionaire overnight. So every day on that day, every year on that day, he makes a big celebration, he throws a party for family and friends. He goes all out, gets the best caterer in town, the best bands, singers, speakers, most beautiful hall. Every year everyone knows, everyone anticipates this day where this once beggar who became wealthy and prestigious, celebrates his party. But imagine if, as a souvenir, he would give each participant 1 year a chewed up paper cup with some coins inside and a woolen blanket to remember the times where he was begging in Piccadilly Station. It would seem ridiculous. This is a time for celebration of having left all that behind. Now he celebrates his new life, his new family, his new friends, his new position in the world, in society. He's left a lot behind. What's this? To relive the experience of begging in Piccadilly Station? Why do we begin to say with Ha'olach Ma'anya? This is the bread of affliction. This is the Shibud Mitzrayim that we all felt. And again, as we said through the Seder, we re-experience the Shibud, the pain, the affliction of the times of Shibud Mitzrayim. In Manishtana, the child asks the four questions. The Barbanel writes, what are these four questions? He says that the child is asking the stiras of tonight, the contradictions of Pesach, of the Seder. What's going on? Are we reliving the redemption? Or are we reliving Shibud Mitzrayim, the affliction of the times of the Shibud Mitzrayim? You're eating morer, which is bitter, in commemoration of the pain of the Shibud Mitzrayim. But at the same time, you're dipping your food into these dips, like a rich man, like a man who has cheres. On the one hand, you're leaning back, like princes and kings of years gone by, who would lean during their meals to show the cheres, to show that we've now left Shibud Mitzrayim, we're no longer under the power, under the rulership of Pari. But at the same time, you're eating more bitter herbs to remember the pain that we went through. So what is tonight? The child is asking, what are you commemorating? Is it the Shibud or is it the Cheirus? The child sees the contradictions and he asks about it. Says that Barbanel, and the father then answers, Avodim Hayinu. We were once slaves, and both are true. We were slaves, and we commemorate that. And then we finally, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and we commemorate that too. So we have the matzah, the morer, the mesubin, we lean back, and we dip. Yes, all the contradictions are true. But still, it still beggars an explanation. The question still stares at us in the face. True, the child is asking contradictions, and the father is saying both are true. There was a Shibud, and there was a Cheres. But nevertheless, why are we going so far back? Why are we going back to before the redemption? And the truth is, the Balagoda is coming from the Mishnah in Psochim, Kuf Tezayin Amud Alef, which is the Chiyuv of Seidenai. How are you supposed to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Says the Mishnah, says the Tana in the Mishnah, do that by being maschil begnus, or misayim b'shvach. Start by talking about the painful times, when it was still difficult, and be misayim, go on to talking about the shvach. And the Gemara brings the machlokas Rav Shmuel. How do you begin by talking about the gnus? Either with our fathers were oivdei avodah zara, a spiritual melchama, a spiritual churban, where they were challenged by the Avodah Zorah, by being idol worshippers, or the other opinion is start with Halach Ma'anya, the Avodim Hayinu, Bepharim Mitzrayim, start with the physical labor that they had, the physical affliction that they were under in Mitzrayim. But the Ritva says something very interesting. The Ritva says both are right. In other words, they both agree with each other. Rav and Shmuel both say you need both. We need to mention Avodah Zarah, the spiritual problems that we had, the spiritual challenges that we had in Mitzrayim, and we also have to mention the physical affliction of Shibud Mitzrayim. Both must be mentioned. The Machlokes is only which one is first and which one is second. Which one do you begin with? Kipshutoi. Maschil begnus. Which gnus do you begin with? But both are as important as each other. It's always telling us that there's no Machlokes. We must begin with both the spiritual problems that were in Mitzrayim and the physical problems of Shibud Mitzrayim. They're one and the same. So perhaps we could change the moshel a little bit. We said the moshel of the Piccadilly beggar, We have to change the mosh a little bit. If there's a chemist whose job is to find new concoctions for medication to heal the world's health issues, and he tries again and again different ideas, he's a poor man, he's never made it really. He struggles with parnosa, he can't feed his family. And then, on one night, after trying again and again different concoctions, he comes up with a solution to one of the illnesses that no one had a cure for. So again, on that day, he celebrates the finding of that cure, which is now curing a health problem which the entire world had no cure for. It made him wealthy, it made him famous, it brought him a prestige. He's now a very chashuva position in society as having found this medication. When he celebrates year after year the day of finding this remedy, of finding this solution to the problem, and he gives a souvenir which shows 3 points. He has a little card he gives out to everybody. A, B, and C. A was when I tried to put these chemicals together and it didn't work out. B was when I tried again. C was when I really made it. C was success. So he's reliving the building up of the experience till the final point of when he was successful. Shibud Mitzrayim didn't begin, Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't begin with leaving Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim began with the Shibud. It was a prerequisite to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was a prerequisite to the redemption which brought Klal Yisrael to the level of being able to be the people who could accept the Torah at Har Sinai. They needed to go through that. They were on their level, difficult for us to understand, an imperfect nation. Something was still missing. We start with Terach. The Haggadah starts with Terach. We have to know there are blemishes. Klal Yisrael wasn't perfect. And it needs to go through the Kor HaBarzel, the iron melting pot of Mitzrayim, to cleansify and purify and to become a pure nation, to turn into the nation that can reach the level of seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam at Kriyas Yam Suf and finding it at Har Sinai. The Gemara Brachas Daf Hei Amud Aleph says that melach, salt, is spoken about with regards to covenant, a bris. Salt is also brought in a pasuk with regards to yisurim, affliction, pain. And the Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Hei that just like salt pulls the blood out of meat, so too yisurim, pain, pulls out yisurim and markin, takes away Gehenim from a person. If you look at Lashon Gemara, there's something very beautiful. The Gemara says that the melach is mantik the basar. It sweetens the meat. It doesn't just get rid of the problem. It sweetens the meat. Salt brings out flavor. When you've got a tasty dish in front of you and you want it to just have a little bit more geschmack, a little bit more flavor, you put a bit of salt, it brings out the flavor, the sweetness of the food. The Gemara is telling us that salt, which is, if you look at it on its own, it's a bitter substance. It's a bitter food. But when you put it into food, into your dish, into your steak, it brings out the taste. It brings out the flavor, the sweetness of the dish you're trying to eat. So the Yisurim, the Shibud Mitzrayim, is not just, they were in Shibud Mitzrayim, now they have to leave. It was a prerequisite. They had to go through Shibud Mitzrayim in order to have the redemption, in order to have the high level of Yetzias Mitzrayim and to reach the levels they actually reached. The Zohar writes that Golus Mitzrayim and all the Golus that would come later, every Golus, including the one we're in now, is a microcosm of the original Golus Mitzrayim. It's just a repetition, really. It's a reflection of what happened then. We need Shibud, and then we get redeemed. And then once again, Klal Yisrael goes through the same cycle again. Affliction, pain, and then once again we're redeemed. And so it's very important for the Baal HaGadah to begin with the Halach Ma'anyo, with the pain that we started with. There was a fellow, Rafal tells this story, Rabbi Meisels, who was in Los Angeles and he was going to speak in Melbourne, Australia. So he's in the airport. In front of him is a mashulach, a fine yid, who's just been to Los Angeles and is now traveling to Melbourne also to raise funds. And as they get to security, as they reach the security in the airport, the mashulach is told to take off his shoes, as are many people. But when they come to the baskets where they have the belts and jackets and everything you've taken off in the airport, he couldn't find his shoes. They'd gone missing. The security tried to help him out. They looked here, they looked there. They tried, maybe got stuck in the machine. They couldn't find it. They look at the side, they see a pair of shoes there at the side. Two sizes too small. Apparently someone else had walked out with a shoe two sizes too big. He couldn't walk off with these. And a little bit agitated, but not showing it, he smiles. He says, okay, they give him a $100 voucher to spend in the airport in Melbourne. He's rushing to his flight. He won't have time to spend it here in Los Angeles. And he walks with stockinged feet. He continues his way to the airplane and onto the plane. He continues his journey. On the flight, it's a long flight to Melbourne. This Rabbi Meisels is schmoozing to this mashulach, this yid who wants to collect funds. And a goy comes out of first class and comes over to them. There's some space in the aircraft. And he says to Rabbi Meisels, who's this man? He doesn't speak the language. He speaks Ivrit, the goy speaks English. Rabbi Meisels says, he's a Jew on his way to Melbourne. He says, he was so refined at the security at the airport. It fascinated me. The way he behaved, the way he reacted, he said, if someone would take my shoes away, it doesn't matter why, you'd hear me across the airport. I'd be ranting and raving and getting security. Excuse me, where are my shoes? This man was so dignified. He very much impressed me. He says, why is he travelling to Melbourne? So he translates for this fundraiser. And he tells him that he's fundraising, he's making a chasana. His daughter's getting married, how much does he need? $25,000. He writes him a cheque on the spot for 25,000 euro. There's a little bit of change. He says, a man like this should not be knocking on doors in Melbourne, collecting funds for his daughter. Such a dignified person. He should be going back home. And he bought shoes in the airport in Melbourne. And then he travels back home to Eretz Yisrael. When this man lost his shoes, it's not a very nice experience. You're standing in the airport, you have to walk around barefoot. What he didn't realize is that he had to go through that in order to come out with the most successful minute of the year. He's collecting funds for his daughter's chassid, he doesn't know if he'll get to that sum. And here he doesn't realize that his behavior at that moment, in the moment of challenge, is his most successful moment. Because that will bring about his salvation, that will bring about redemption. We must go through the process of shibud in order to have chayrus, to get to the redemption. The Kuzari, in the classic work, the Kuzari, the king of Kuzar asks Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, he asks him, what's your belief? And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi answers, like the first of the Dibros on the Luchos, he says to him, I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, the God of my fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he continues, who took us out of Mitzrayim. A very classic response. But the king is not very happy. And he says to him, that's what you mentioned? Yitzias Mitzrayim. What about the Ribbono Shel Olam who created heaven and earth, who created the universe, the entire world was created by him? Why are you choosing one event in history, Yitzias Mitzrayim, as your belief? Says Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Your Honor, Your Highness, if I were just to say that He is the God of heaven and earth, the one who created heaven and earth, that's my belief. There's pagans, they believe in their gods. And I believe in my God. Yetzias Mitzrayim was a time when the entire nation witnessed and testified the absolute power of the Ribbono Shel Olam through the Makkos, through Kriyas Yamsuf, And finally, there was Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. They watched with their own eyes the Ribbono Shel Olam's power over every single part of the universe and beyond. He says that that's why I mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we can think about it. All the Yomim Tovim are Lezeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't have that. Other than Pesach, we don't have such a thing. You look at your Machzor, your Siddur, so you have Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, Sukkos, but there's the same line underneath for all of them. One's called Zman Chiruseinu, Pesach. One's Zman Simchoseinu, right? Sukkos. Shmini Atzeres, Shavuos. But there's one line that's for all of them. Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim. Now how does a Sukkah have to do with Litzias Mitzrayim? Or the Simcha of Sukkos, or the Torah? Torah is not in Torah. Yetzias Mitzrayim connects the entire year. Shabbos, which is really Zeche Lemaaseh Bereishis, is it not? For the 6 days, on the seventh day, Vayichul HaShemayim V'aretz Bayim HaShvi, on the seventh day, the Ribbono Shel Olam rested. And nevertheless, Kiddush Friday night, Zeche Yetzias Mitzrayim. How is Shabbos Zeche Yetzias Mitzrayim, says the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, in his Arichas, to bring out the power of Emunah of Klal Yisrael. He says, the reason why so many mitzvahs are Zeche Yetzias Mitzrayim is because the tachlis of mitzvahs, Yomim Tovim, and all that we do is for Emunah Bashem, for absolute Emunah Bashem, to realize that Ribbono Shel Olam created and continues to run the world at every given moment in time. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and continues to create the world and continues to look after every single thing that happens. That's why every moment of the year, every Yom Tov, is a commemoration for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because that was the moment where Klal Yisrael became clear. It became absolutely clear to Klal Yisrael that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and looks after the world at every moment. Reb Shimshon Rafael Hirsch writes in Chayriv, he says, Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says, don't be mistaken to think that Yetzias Mitzrayim was a time where Klal Yisrael became powerful, they overcame the sovereign nation, the Mitzrayim. Don't think for a moment that there were any weapons that Klal Yisrael had, he says. Don't think for a moment there was any power involved or overpowering. He says there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. He says it was like the Yehi Oyer. He compares it to like Sheshes and Beresheis, where the Ribbono Shel Olam said some words and the world came into existence by some simple words. Yehi Oyer, and there was light. Yehi Rokia, and that's what happened. So the same thing happened with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it was clear to all. The Ribbono Shel Olam willed some makas, and the entire world turned upside down. With some words, Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. He says it was so extreme that they didn't even have time to prepare the most simple commodity, which is bread. Didn't have time to rise. The whole Achma Anyo, as much as we spoke about that it commemorates the time of affliction that Klal Yisrael were under, it's also the matzah. Matzah Zusha on Oichem Leitin Nahagoda, the same matzah comes to tell us, which we went out b'chipozoim, the emunah, the second stage of the matzah. The matzah we ate as slaves, but then the second stage in the Haggadah. Matzah Zusha on Oichem al Shema, why the chiyuv of Achilas matzah on Pesach, says the Baal Haggadah? Because b'chipozoim, the Ribbono Shel Olam told us, run out of Mitzrayim, there wasn't even time for the bread to rise. Talk about preparing for war against the Mitzrayim. There wasn't even time to have some food. The crackers didn't rise. They were on their way already. There was absolutely no time for questioning. And so therefore we have the chiyuv of Chayiv Adam Lireisis Atzmoi, which we can understand better. It's not just about reliving the experience from then, says Rav Dessler, Michtav Melio. Every year we re-experience and we relive those moments. He says when you come through to Pesach, it's not just the time when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, but rather, you are now reliving that experience. Klal Yisrael is once again going through Shibud and then Cheres. Chayiv Adam Lireisis Atzmoi is to re-experience that feeling. And having said what the Zohar says, that each golos is a reflection of the Golus Mitzrayim, it means that the Golus we're in now is once again a reflection of Mitzrayim. So to relive that experience just means to find the points in the Golus that we're living in, which is Shibud, and then hopefully come to Cheirus. We will come to Cheirus, Be'ez Hashem. The Maral writes in Gvuras Hashem, the Maral says, the nisim that happened during Yetzias Mitzrayim, before they left, which was a colossal display of the Ribbono Shel's might and power, come to show how the Ribbono Shel is sovereign, how the Ribbono Shel rules over every single part of the Bria. And later in the Haggadah we go through Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Oroiv, says the Maral in Gvuras Hashem, why particularly these makas? Says the Maharal, Dam is the lowest thing on earth, water. Water is found at the lowest depth of earth, turned into blood. The Ribbono Shel shows his power over the lowest part of the universe. Then comes Tzvardeya. Says the Maharal, Tzvardeya are the living things in the ocean, the living things in that lowest part of the earth, water. They, so to speak, control that area. The water is there, but they can maneuver around, they find their homes there, they go up and down. It's their domain. Tzvardeya is moving up. It's the living things in the ocean. Kinnim, you've already reached the ground, now ground level. All the earth became lice. The several tfachim of lice in Mitzrayim. The earth is controlled by Hashem. Messages to Mitzrayim, again and again. Then came the Oroiv, which are a little bit high off the ground, animals. The Ribbono Shel is now moving up in the universe and showing that he has total control over all animals, all of the animal kingdom that walk the earth. Then comes Devar, which is pestilence, when the animals died. That's the Ribbono Shel's control over breath, over the air in the atmosphere. He took it away from the animals, and now the animals died. Dever. Shchin, says the Maharal, Shchin is boils, fire. Now we know that heat rises. Says the Maharal, that the heat, Shchin comes from the heat, boils. Heat is above the air in the atmosphere. So he's now moving up from the air in the atmosphere of Dever, which was taken away, and thereby the animals died, to Shchin, which is heat, higher than the atmosphere, higher than the air. Borod comes from the highest point of the universe, coming down into land, missiles, to destroy Mitzrayim. Arbe control the area, much like the Tzvardeya in the ocean. Arbe fly around in the atmosphere, in the highest points, they come from the sky, it's their domain. That's Arbe. Choshech is already moving out of the atmosphere. It went out to the luminaries. The light, the sun, the moon, the stars. The Ribbono Shel turned them off. I control, I've showed you I control every single part of the universe. We've now moved out. I control also that which is outside of the universe. The luminaries, the sun, the moon and the stars. I control that. I switched it off. And finally, Makas Bechoris, says the Maharal, which is beyond physical. The nefesh of a person, and here we're talking about going, but the nefesh of a person is spiritual. The Ribbono Shel has now shown through all the nine makas absolute control over every single part of the world and beyond. And now he moves into ruchnius. The entire ruchnius world is mine. If I want a person to die, they will die. The nefesh ha'adam, which is ruchni, is also in my control. So Paro, who absolutely would not, there was no way he was giving in, there was no way he was backing down, Paro. But bit by bit, the Ribbono Shel showed, and everyone was witness to see this, it was testified by millions and millions of people, Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael alike. They testified then and later and throughout the generations, a nation that was testified to this, and given over, Midor L'dor at the Seder night. that yes, we were in Shibud Mitzrayim, we had to be cleansified. We had to be purified. And then finally, in a way that has never been demonstrated since, the Rebbe Yisrael shows his absolute power over every single part of the world and beyond it, and the Ruchnistiger world, the spiritual world, the physical world, it's all mine, in my control, and one must believe in that. And that's why the Khuzari turns around to the king and he says, it's my belief in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's why the Rambam tells us that till this point, it was an emuna shiyish achar of hiru. They believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they believed, but there's something missing till Yetzias Mitzrayim. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael became the nation. It was the day we were born. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the moment where Klal Yisrael finally knew that there was Ribbono Shel Olam. Didn't only believe that there was Ribbono Shel Olam, but knew it. They saw him. Ra'asa shivcha ayom ashrei roi chezkel ben buzi. There's a fellow who came to Yiddishkeit late, and at the time that he was challenged, he made himself a beautiful tattoo of a snake across his arm. And as he became more firm, more religious, he moved into Yerushalayim. He went to yeshiva there. And he liked to go to mikvah on Friday, but knowing that people in Meir Sha'arim aren't exactly used to seeing tattoos across people's arms, he would go very early on Friday. He would always turn up at 6 o'clock in the morning, have the place to himself, a quiet mikvah, and he'd prepare for Shabbos early. One Friday, he woke up late. So he was debating, perhaps he should miss this Friday. It's not a chiyuv. On the other hand, he didn't want to miss his mikveh going on a Friday. He decided he'll wrap himself up with a towel till the last possible moment, wrap himself up again, hopefully no one notices, even if it's busy. He goes in, and it's a busy time, Friday afternoon, by the time he got there. He wrapped himself up in a towel, and as it could happen in Meir Sha'arim, he bumps into someone, his towel goes flying, and his arm is revealed, and there's a little boy standing very near to him. He's telling, look at that man's arm. And with that, 27 people have turned their eyes to his arm, and he's going red in their face, his blood's been drained from his face. Feeling rather uncomfortable. It's only a few seconds until there's a voice out of the crowd, an old, gruffy voice. And someone says out of the crowd, what's the big deal that he has a tattoo? I've also got one. Everyone just goes back to what they're doing. And this man stands outside, this young man stands outside the mikveh, waits for the old man to finish. And he says to him, you know, it's very nice of you to save face and to say that, but you didn't have to lie for me. She says, a man at my age doesn't lie. I have a tattoo. He rolls up his sleeve and he shows him his 6 numbers from Auschwitz. And he turns to the young man and he says, we both went through a churban. It's just a different churban. You went through a churban, I went through a churban. It's Klal Yisrael in its cycle. You survived, I survived. We're both survivors. Klal Yisrael goes through the cycle. And at each juncture we have a choice. And we choose to be the Am Hashem. Klal Yisrael needs to go through that Shibud. It cleansifies us. It purifies us. We need to go through the Korah Bauzal in each generation. Like Odessa says, each year Nisan, it's a time of Geula. Then it was Geula, and we each go through our personal Shibud and Geula. And that's why Nisan is the month of Geula Ho'asida, a month which is Mesugo for Moshiach to come. Because it's the time where Klal Yisrael went through a Shibud, the Golos, and finally the redemption, the Geula Ho'asida, the Geula then, and the Geula that will come by Hashem. So as we stand today, a strong people, a people who have gone through Goliath, Golas Mitzrayim, and all the Goliaths which are a reflection, as the Zohar told us, of the original Golas Mitzrayim. And as the Michtav Melyahu tells us, every year we're reliving that experience in reality, in the Golas we're now in. So we stand together, we are a testimony. We testify, and we are, by our very existence, and keeping Torah and Mitzvahs, we testify to the Klal Yisrael that through generation and generation, b'chol dor v'dor, oimdim aleinu l'chaliseinu, in different forms. The Golas just turns itself into different forms. Golas Mitzrayim, a tattoo on the arm, in different forms. But always Klal Yisrael come out more powerful than before. They go through it, and then there's the redemption, which shows the beauty of Klal Yisrael coming as one, accepting the Ol Malchus Shamayim, finally at the Matan Torah. So we stand at the Seder, testifying for this everlasting Klal Yisrael, which cannot be destroyed. And we testify that the Ribono Shel is not just something we believe in, but that we know He exists. And with that, we know we'll come, Be'ezras Hashem, to the Geula Hashleima B'mhira of Yameinu. Amen. Oh, hey.